Well, I bring greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Thank you, Matt, for the devotional and looking internally or looking in the mirror at our lives and evaluating where we're at in our walk with God. And we talked about in one of the ministry meetings about a council message, and we didn't assign anyone with a specific council message, but it was someone mentioned that every message, in a sense, is somewhat of a council message, or should be, you know, a self-inflection, a reflection of, you know, where we're at in our walk with God. You can turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, and the title of the message this morning is Running the Race. And throughout this message, I want us to look in the mirror in regards to running the race, where we are at in our walk, or should I say, run with God. How are we doing in running the race? The Bible in Hebrews 12 talks about, or refers to our Christian life as to running a race. Now, there are some people here that have run races before, and I want to share some of my running experiences throughout this message. I'm not much of a runner. In fact, before moving up to Shenandoah, I never ran in an official race, and now twice a year, I try to run the local races, the Shenandoah 10K and then the Ringtown 5K. And I feel like the older I get, the busier I get, and the less practice I do these last couple years. But I do still try to make it a point to run those races. And there's a lot of parallels that we can draw from a physical race to our spiritual race, our walk with God. And I want to remind you that our life is like a race, so that we run to win. And each one of us should have a desire to win the race that we are running. One day, our life is going to come to an end. The race is going to be over. We're going to cross that finish line. So every one of us here this morning has life, right? Or we wouldn't be here. We're breathing, right? Well, one day our heart's going to stop beating. One day, our lungs are going to stop taking in air. Our race will be over. And it is very important how we run our race that we are in. So winning the Christian race is not so much about who can cross the finish line first, but that we can all make it across, that we can make it across victoriously. So I have 4 points I want to look at in the message. The first one is entering the race, how we can start the race. The second point is running lightweight. There's some verses in Hebrews 12 that talk about what we need to do to run free or to run light. And then thirdly, running with endurance, or King James Version uses the word patience. ESV says endurance. And then the fourth point, finishing the race. So I'm just going to read the first three verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'll stop there for right now. So again, thinking about a physical race. So for the Shenandoah 10K and the Ringtown, it's called the Cool Cracker in Shenandoah. Ringtown, it's called the Loop. It's a 5K. For both those races, you must register to run the race. You can register, or you can pre-register, or they give you the option to register on race day. But you're not really qualified to run the race unless you register. And when you register, they'll give you a bib number, there's a little fee to enter, and then you are registered to run. No matter how physically fit you are qualified to participate in the race. And spiritually, under the first point, entering the race, what does it look like spiritually for us to enter the race? And the Bible talks about following Jesus Christ and what we must do to become part of the spiritual race. The Bible says we must be born again. We must acknowledge that we are sinners. I must confess that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I need God. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from my sin, to remove me from my sin. So the Bible says if I confess that I'm a sinner and I repent of my sin, I'm sorry for my sin, and I choose to leave my former life behind, I am then entering the race. I'm entering the spiritual race. I am entering the race by faith. I believe that the shed blood of Jesus was enough to remove my sin. And then I begin this race, this spiritual race, and I live in obedience to Christ's command. So the first word in Hebrews chapter 12 is wherefore. So we need to go back to Hebrews 11 say and ask, why are these verses here? Well, in Hebrews 11, a very familiar chapter is the heroes of faith. And it talks about them as the, as examples for us. And I'm going to read a few verses from Hebrews 11. I'll read the first three verses there as well. Thinking about the heroes of faith in this, that the race that they were running and how they entered this race. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it goes on to list many names. But we enter the race, we run this race in faith. And these, I think it was 16 different names that are mentioned here, and then it refers to others as well that ran this race. And they ran this race in faith. They believed the promises of God, even though they hadn't seen all the promises fulfilled. Like Abraham, he was promised he'd be a father of many nations. Well, he was given that promise when he didn't even have any children. And yet, he walked in faith. And it takes faith to enter this Christian or this spiritual race. So in order to enter the race, we must confess that we are sinners. We need to repent of our sins. And we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, and that is how we begin this Christian race. So I ask you this morning, have you made that decision to enter the Christian race? Have you confessed that you need Jesus Christ, or that you are a sinner and that you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you? If so, if you've done that, you are running this spiritual race. Now let's look some more at and turn or look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, how are we doing in this Christian race? How well are we running? So the second point, running lightweight. So on race day, so I'm going to go back again to these two local races that some of you run. Those races are in June. It's usually quite warm. And you enter that race dressing light. You don't come with a winter coat on. You dress so that you can run well. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't dress enough. They barely wear anything, unfortunately. But you enter that race wearing minimal clothes as far as you want to be able to run well. And in Hebrews 12, it instructs us to lay aside weights. My mind goes back to a few years ago when there was several people from Myerstown area that came up to run the 10K race as well. And I remember starting the race, it used to start on Main Street, now it starts on Center Street and goes down Main. And there was a group of us running. We were still in town. It was close to the edge of town as the race had started. We're running downhill. And I heard the one guy, part of our group that came up, he was behind me, and he said, he still has his water, what should he do with his water? And I said, just throw it. I'm like, in a race, it's okay to throw your water. He's like, just throw it. I'm like, yeah, just throw it. So he threw it. He left it behind. And we ran that race, and the race was over. And he came back to me later. He's like, he found that it was still there, and he's holding his wallet. I'm like, you threw your wallet. I understood him that he's holding his water, and he's saying, what should I do with my wallet? And I'm saying, just throw it. And he's saying, really, throw it? I'm like, yes, throw it. It's okay. Well, thankfully, his wallet was still laying there. I would have never told him to throw his wallet had I known that's what he was saying. But he ran light. He was willing to discard the weight of his wallet and leave it behind. So I want to look at running light. And I'd like to hear from you. This is going to be very simple, but what does it say in verse 1 that we are to put off? What are we to leave behind? This is Hebrews 12, verse 1. Sin, yes. What else does it say? Every weight, yes. And I think those two somewhat go hand in hand, but I do want to look a little bit, maybe sometimes we go through life, our Christian race, carrying weight. Maybe that's not necessarily sin of itself, but yet can weigh us down and maybe lead to sin. So I want to look at what could be weight and, you know, what could be, or what is sin. So maybe sometimes our material possessions can weigh us down and we can get earthly focused and maybe laying up earthly treasures rather than being focused on laying up heavenly treasures. And sometimes even good things can become weights in our life. And sometimes God may call us to leave weights behind, to get rid of something that's not necessarily, like I said, sin of itself, but is becoming a weight, whether that's a hobby, something you really enjoy doing, or vehicle, or vacations, or any earthly possession. And for me, hunting season is coming up soon, and hunting is something I really enjoy. But I need to be careful with that, because that can become a weight. If I'm pursuing hunting more than I am in pursuing living for God, if hunting becomes an idol to me, well, that's a weight. That's something I need to be willing to lay aside, or at least allow God to or search my own heart and see if it is becoming a weight. So in verse 1, it says, and the sin. It doesn't say, and the sins. So I wonder, what was the author, we don't know for sure who was the author of Hebrews, but what did he mean specifically when he talked about leaving the sin behind? And I'm wondering, and I heard one commentator say that this is very likely the sin of unbelief. So Hebrews 11 is talking about the heroes of faith, right? Here they believed. And if we are not believing, that is sin. And we need to step out in faith. We need to run in faith. Even though we might not have seen all the promises, we can believe God's word. We can believe he is true, just like these heroes of faith. And if these heroes of faith continued their journey in faith, how much more can we? Because we've seen many more fulfilled prophecies than what they had. We can see that God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled, that God was faithful, and Abraham became the father of many nations, even though Abraham didn't see that. So God was there for them. He was faithful for them. So we also can step out in faith and run in faith. Hebrews 11, I want to read verse 13. You can look at that verse in your Bible. It's Hebrews 11, 13, talking about these heroes. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So again, even though they hadn't seen the fulfillment of all the promises, they were persuaded of them. They seen them afar off. They believed God. And if we are doubting God, if we choose to not believe, that is a sin, and we need to repent of that and step out in faith. But I believe this can also refer to many different types of sins, and if you would like, you can turn to Revelation 21. I would like to read a verse from there. Revelation 21, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. So there is going to be a day, like I said, when our race is over. There's going to be a day when every one of us, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So we're going to bow before God. And if we run this race carrying weights, we're not going to experience the glories of heaven. This is very, very serious. So verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So if we are going to be victorious in our Christian race, these sins that are listed here, and there's many other sins, or quite a few other sins that are listed in other passages in the New Testament, that will bar us from entering the kingdom of heaven, that will bar us from crossing that finish line successfully. So this is very, very serious. Now, I would like a volunteer to come up here, preferably a young person. And I want to give a little example of running the race with weights. Any volunteers? If I don't have a volunteer, maybe I'm just going to choose somebody. Bo, do you want to come up here? You'd be a good guy for it. You want to do it? There you go. So, at school, you have a backpack sometimes, right? Well, let's picture Bo running a race. Entering a race. So Bo is going to, let's say you're going to run the Ringtown 5K. And there's many other runners around there, but Bo, can you put this on? Bo shows up with a backpack on. How does that feel? You think you'll do well in the race? No. So if Bo tries to run that race, he's going to be slowed down tremendously. Maybe not for the first 100 yards or so, but for running a 5K, he's not going to be able to place nearly as good running that race. Can you at least go over here with it on?
Pretty heavy. So I want to give this as an example of running a race with weight. So if Bo showed up like this, we'd say he's foolish for trying to run a race with this kind of weight. Now, there are some people that maybe practicing for a race, maybe they'll put some weight on so that race day they feel just so much more free, so much lighter. But it would be foolish to show up trying to get your best time with a backpack full of weights. So let's see what all you're carrying here, see if we can make your load lighter. Should we do that? You're right? <Yeah. laughs> So what I've done is I put some blocks in here, listing some of the weights that are clearly listed in the Bible that will bar people from entering the kingdom of heaven. And these aren't all listed here in Revelation 21, but there are some other passages here where these are listed. So, in our Christian race, sometimes we might start free and we face temptation, we face trials. And sometimes we basically start putting weights in our pack. We start adding weights to our Christian race. Sometimes we become envious of what others may have, and it will bog us down. You still okay? Idolatry. And while worshiping graven images, you might not see so much of that in our culture today. There's still, I believe, many idols that, as Americans, that we worship idols. Hunting can become an idol. Sports, vehicles, hobbies,
jobs, they can all become idols if we are more focused on that and pursuing that rather than living free in our Christian race. Hatred. You know, sometimes it's not easy to love everybody. Sometimes we are mistreated and we can become angry or we can start hating someone. So if we cross that line, race or our spiritual race, if we finish our life with hatred in our hearts, the Bible says hatred cannot enter into heaven. That can bar us from entering heaven. Murder. And, well, hatred leads to murder, right? And this might seem like way out there, but if anger isn't dealt with, it leads to hatred, and hatred can lead to murder. And I believe there's many people that don't murder because of the consequences that they'll face in this life, but Jesus wants us to go or stop way beyond that and say, let's nip it in the bud. Let's not be angry with each other. Is it feeling better there? Unbelief, and that's was mentioned here in Revelation 21, and also, I believe, talking about the sin that can beset us, the sin that can hold us back. And I'm not, so unbelief, if we choose to not believe in the finished work of Jesus, sometimes Satan can bring doubt, and we might feel unworthy or not good enough. How could God love me for all that I've done? And we can start doubting that God in His love would save me. And we can start doubting and questioning God. But God wants us to just believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is enough to remove my sin. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is enough to remove your sin. And when you believe in faith. Theft. It is clear that someone cannot enter into heaven with unconfessed sin, or if they've stolen anything. And sometimes we might think of theft as something big, maybe a vehicle or going to a store and stealing a lot of items. But theft can even be very small things. Theft can be cheating on our taxes. Theft can be, regardless of its value, if we're taking something that belongs to somebody else and we're saying, and we're making or taking it for ourselves. Lying. Are we men and women, brothers and sisters, who are being honest, who are speaking truth, regardless of how much of a white lie, what we might call it, God's word clearly teaches us to let your yes be yes and your no be no. We should not be people who are lying, but rather speaking truth. And the last one, immorality, is listed here in Revelation 21. And immorality, specifically sexual immorality. And this can be whether it's pornography, adultery, fornication, whatever it may be. The Bible strictly says, and these are not my words, but they will bar us from entering or from finishing well. And if we meet God on Judgment Day, and these eight things, any one of these eight things, the way I understand it, we will not finish well. It's not going to go well for us. Now, the good news is when we are honest, we can confess and say, God, I am sorry. And we confess it to Him and we repent of it and we hate the sin. God in His love will give us the grace that we need to turn from it, the strength that we need to turn from it and to leave it behind. And the good news is these things that were once part of our lives, we can be free from. So if you're running the race and any of these have struck you as something you have in your life, you still have the breath, you still have the grace of God where you can confess it, acknowledge that it is sin, and turn from it. And if you read through Hebrews 11, it becomes very clear if you read the names there, some of these people failed. Some of these people failed in fairly big ways. David, we can look at him, and he's listed here in Hebrews 11, yet he was a man after God's own heart, yet he had some gross sin in his life. But he was willing to admit that he was a sinner. He was willing to confess and repent of it. So, Bo, do you feel any better now? Do you feel you could run a little bit better? All right, well, I can take this off. And thank you for giving us an example of what it would look like, you know, trying to run a race being weighted down. So you can go back to your seat. So again, thinking about our spiritual race that we are in, and I want to ask myself the question, I want to ask you the question, are you free from these things, or have you picked up a weight that is slowing you down? Have you picked up a weight that on Judgment Day that you're going to be guilty because you have not confessed it and repented of it? It is very serious. And also thinking about weights, again, thinking about something that maybe isn't wrong of itself. And we live in a world where there's so much entertainment. And in my own life, one thing I had to think of is my cell phone. I was going to bring my cell phone up here. I don't have it with me. But my cell phone can be a very useful tool, but it can also become a weight. It can hinder me from running the race well. Just for an example, a few weeks ago, my wife messaged me. I was out in the shop, and she said, the washer's not working. I'm like, oh, no. We have a stackable washer and dryer, and I'm like, dryer's on top to take the washer or dryer off and work at it. And just like, I'm not real good with fixing things like that. And when there's water involved, I'm not much of a plumber. I don't like plumbing. And she's telling me it's not working. Like, okay, well, I'll look into this. And I started with YouTube, I believe, and trying to diagnose the problem that way. And YouTube was extremely helpful for me. I was able to diagnose that it was the drain pump that was the issue and bought a new part for it, got it all put together. I mean, that's kind of the story in a nutshell, but it's working again. So the phone was a very useful tool for that. Cell phones are very useful to communicate, but there's a lot of people that are enslaved to their cell phone. And I got to speak to myself some on this, because sometimes I spend too much time on my phone than what I need to or than what I should. And my phone can become a weight. Are you carrying any extra weight this morning? And in our accountability groups, I've shared with the men there about my phone time use and asking them to keep me accountable in that area. You know, how much time am I spending on my phone? Am I using my phone wisely, or is it becoming a weight in my Christian race? Moving to the third point, running with endurance, or again, as Hebrews 12 talks about in the King James, it says, run with patience. That word can also be translated endurance. And I like that, the thought of that a little bit better. So in order to finish that 5K or finish that 10K, and some of you have run longer races than a 10K, I never have. I don't know if I could endure, but it takes endurance. You need to press on. And on race day, I push myself harder. I persevere stronger than what I would on a practice run. As I'm running and giving it all I got, I have some thoughts going through my mind like, you know, each step I take, the finish line is getting closer and closer, and I'm trying to do my best to endure. Well, there's some motivations that are given here in Hebrews 12 that I think will help us to endure our Christian race, and that's what I want to look at. I want to look at three things that we should be motivated by as Christians to endure, to run with endurance. And the first one is in verse 2, and I'm going to again open this up. Who should we look to for endurance in our Christian race? Hebrews 12, verse 2. It's pretty simple. We should look unto who? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Someone shout it out. Jesus. So look unto Jesus. So Jesus, looking at Jesus should motivate us in our Christian race. He is the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. So Jesus, that when we're going through or when we're faced with trials and temptations, We can remember that Jesus also faced trials. Jesus also faced temptations. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, Jesus endured many temptations. He knows what we are going through, and we can also be victorious through the trials and the temptations. Jesus can relate to us, and Jesus was willing to suffer for us. He was willing to go to the cross for my sins. Are we willing to suffer for His sake? Are we willing to endure suffering? So one is to look to Jesus and the example that He has given us. That should help motivate us to endure the race that we are running. And number two that I wrote down is observe others. So talking about in here, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So these heroes of faith can actually, by observing them, they should motivate us to endure in our Christian race. Their example should motivate us. And it's not so much that they are witnessing our race, but we are, in a sense, witnessing what they have done and the race that they have run. And that should motivate us. Going back to, again, on race day, it is when I am out of breath, when I am exhausted, and in the 10K running up mile five, that long hill, when I hear someone behind me panting, running hard, I'm not in this alone. Someone else is going through this difficulty too. And that gives me some endurance. Like, I'm not in this alone. There are other people there. And in that race, there's people that are handing out water. They have water cups filled and ready for you to just grab and go. And they're there sometimes saying, "Go, go, go." Or they tell you how far you have to go. Yet they are motivating you to, or encouraging you to endure, to continue on. And others can motivate us. So the heroes of faith can motivate us to continue pressing on. But then as a body of believers, we are here to encourage each other. And thinking of Riley and Katharina and the struggles or the hardships that they have been through recently, we are to encourage one another, to encourage each other to endure. And again, thinking of these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, just a few that I noted down, and we could pull from others as well, but I just noted some as I was reading over the list in Hebrews 11. So if people are mocking you for your Christian faith and you're feeling discouraged, you can think of Noah. So Noah was called to this great task of building an ark. People were mocking him for building a boat when it had never rained. So Noah experienced mocking, and Noah continued to press on. So if God calls you to move to another area, maybe God calls you to a mission field somewhere and it looks very big. You can think of Abraham, when God called Abraham to get up and move. Abraham didn't know where God was going to lead them, and yet Abraham walked in faith, or should I say, ran the race in faith, not knowing where God would take him. If you are mistreated, you can think of Joseph. So these are names that are listed here in Hebrews 11. So Joseph's brothers were very cruel to him, mistreated him, and yet he continued to persevere. If you're lied about, again, think of Joseph. I think of Potiphar's wife making false accusations about him, Joseph being cast into prison. Like, it would have been very easy for Joseph to become very discouraged. And yet Joseph persevered. And if you're facing temptation, again, think of Joseph and the temptation with Potiphar's wife. And Joseph fled. He ran from the temptation. If you're called to be a leader, if you're called to lead out in something that takes you out of your comfort zone, think of Moses. You know, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites, he felt very unqualified. He felt that he wasn't able to speak. And yet God, we've probably heard the phrase, God qualifies. He doesn't always call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And God is able to do these things for us. We can look at these heroes of faith and be motivated to endure in our Christian race. It's interesting, too, that Rahab is listed in the heroes of faith. And you could think, or maybe Rahab could have felt like, well, because of the life that she lived as a harlot, that there's no way God is going to save her. And yet I believe because of her faith and her obedience, God saved her. God spared her from the destruction that the rest of Jericho faced. And we might sometimes be in our Christian life thinking that we just don't measure up, or why would God continue to love me? And yet if Rahab's name is listed in the heroes of faith, I believe God in his love, when we are willing to be honest, when we're willing to confess our sin, when we're willing to repent of it, God will remove that weight. We can be free and we can continue running that Christian race. So, looking at those heroes of faith, they can motivate us. Others can help encourage us to endure. And that should encourage us. And then thirdly, under enduring the race, the third reason why we should continue be motivated to continue to endure is we can expect chastening. Now, I'm not going to spend much time at all on this. And Dale had an excellent message. I listened to it from last week on the refining fire. Sometimes we go through very difficult times, and we might tend to ask God why. Like, why do I have to go through this? Like, God, I'm trying to live my life for you, and yet all these things are happening to me. And a beautiful picture in Hebrews 12 about earthly fathers disciplining their children. So, as a father, I do not enjoy disciplining my children, but I do it to help them, to help to correct the bad behavior and to help them to live as God desires them to live. Sometimes God brings chastening. Sometimes God disciplines us to bring out good in our lives, to make us better, to make us stronger. So instead of being discouraged by the discipline or by the chastening, we can be, or it has a purifying effect. It is making us more holy. Hebrews 12 says it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I'm not going to read these verses for the sake of time. And again, going back to the physical race, it takes, in order to run well, to run competitively, we need to be willing to discipline ourselves. And that discipline isn't easy. When I practice for the race, my muscles often hurt the day or two afterwards, especially after race day, because I push myself even harder. But it is building muscle when we stretch our muscles like that. And so the discipline that we experience in our Christian walk is for our own good. So, are you enduring the race? And three ways to help endure the race, again, are look to Jesus, observe others, specifically the heroes of faith, and then expect the chastening. And in order to win, we must persevere. And then fourthly, finishing the race. And for those of you who ran races, that seeing that finishing line is a beautiful thing. Coming down for the 10K in the Shenandoah, coming down the hill, I can look up to the top of the hill and I can see that the finish line. I'm like, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Just at the top of the hill. I just got to go up one more hill. And for us, back to that race, there are people nearing that finishing line just cheering you on. And it's just encouraging. You're completely, or at least in my experience, I'm completely exhausted. I've gave it my all. And I'm just ready to cross that line. And sometimes in our spiritual race, we might feel like we're at our end, or like we can't continue on. And yet, God will give us the grace that we need to continue. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul was talking about a race. And he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. But they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Never lose sight of that finish line. One day, the most beautiful thing you could hear, and I know I shared this in the last sermon I preached on piercing the sermon, Pierce My Ear, and thinking about crossing or coming to the end of our life and hearing God's words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those that run to the end, that persevere to the end, can hear those beautiful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I brought a little award. So Paul talking about when you run a race or the physical race, they run to receive a prize. So in the Cool Cracker Race and the Loop, they give out awards to some of the finishers. And these awards are corruptible awards. So it's special to get one, but I realized, well, this is up in my office collecting dust. One day this is going to melt. One day this is going to have zero value. I mean, there's not much value there now. But we are pursuing an incorruptible crown. We are running for a prize that will never perish, that will never corrode. And may we all seek to cross that finish line well, to endure till the end. I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that running faithfully, running lightweight, will be worth it all one day when we cross that finish line and see the glories of heaven, where there will be no pain, no death, no sickness. And I want to remind you that this life, our spiritual life, is like a race, and I want you to run to win. Don't give up. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. And in conclusion, I want to share a little story that I read. The story is from 1952. A woman named Florence Chadwick attempted to swim 26 miles between the California coastline and the Catalina Island. So this was going to be a new record that she was out to set. She was an excellent swimmer. And this swim, to swim these 26 miles, was going to take hours. So she had a team going behind her, I believe in a boat, that were there encouraging her in her swim. And she was about 15 hours into her swim, and she's exhausted. She's worn out. And the team behind her was actually, different times they would fend off the sharks that would come around her. And just thinking about her just struggling through this water. And about 15 hours into it, there was a very dense fog that set in. And she became very discouraged. And she started telling her team that she can't go on. And her mother there was just encouraging her, like, go, go. But she finally said, I can't. And I'm done. And they took her into the boat. And they continued on. And within like a mile, she was within a mile of her destination. She could not, it was within eyesight had it not been for the fog. And she later said she believed she could have persevered to the end if that fog wouldn't have been there, if she could have seen the end goal. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember that we have an end goal that is worth running for. We have an incorruptible crown that is worth pursuing. So in that, am I willing to let go of these weights? Sometimes sometimes we like the weights and they're hard to let go. But am I willing to empty my backpack of the weights? Am I willing to allow Christ to, or am I willing to look in the mirror and allow Christ to point out the weight that is in my heart, to remove it from my life so that I can run free, so that I can run across that finish line and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I pray that each of you, as well as myself, that we can be challenged to run well, to run free, and that we could continue to persevere to the end. And again, thinking about that finish line, we don't know when our race will be over. Maybe Christ will return and all of us will experience that line at the same time. Or maybe some of us will go much sooner than we would have ever thought. We don't know that. But the important thing is to be running well, so that no matter when that finish line comes, that we are ready to cross that finish line. So may God continue to work in your life as He is in mine, to be pure and ready to cross that finish line. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the heroes in Hebrews 11, where they ran faithfully to the end. And I pray that each one of us here would be encouraged to run faithfully in this spiritual race that we are in, to run well, to run lightweight, to be willing to remove the sin so that we can run as You intend us to run. And I pray that each one of us could finish well. And I pray, too, that we could encourage each other as we continue on this race. We recognize that sometimes it gets very difficult. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the finish line. But may we be encouraged as we persevere. I pray that we would continue to look to You, and I pray that You would continue to be near us and guide us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.